Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for Live Dharma Sunday. Please note that if you have called in to listen to today's broadcast, then all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you're listening from any of our Bright Dawn sites, note that it is not necessary to call in. You may have to wait a second or two for the loading and buffering process to complete, but if there is still no audio, please refresh your page. For more information about Bright Dawn and its activities and links to our social media sites, please visit brightdawn.org. Once again, thank you for listening to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the talk.
Welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for December 27th, 2020. Koyo Kobose here. So very, very glad you joined us. Oh boy, right in the midst of holiday season, winter holiday season, and Christmas is over and we're approaching the end of the year. Yeah, and I was looking at an article that was online, and it was about the idea of a gift economy rather than an economy model based upon the market or commodities economy. And if there's an abundance of certain items, maybe some food items or something, and you share them. And, you know, nature was generous and gave a big crop of some fruits and or vegetables, and you feel the gratitude for the gifts that nature has given us. And it has to do with, I guess, our relationship with nature and with what we do with abundance, and not in terms of buying things, but in terms of sharing gifts. And this is a nice topic to be expanded upon in terms of our attitude about what nature provides. You know, and usually we think about, what I need, I'll buy. Okay? Or, you know, based upon an economy that I'll sell and so forth, as opposed to sharing gifts, receiving gifts, okay? And a very fundamental relationship with nature itself. So I like that topic. And I think Dharma teachings in Buddhism, you know, someone once said a green Buddha, you know, but that's redundant, okay? Because interdependency, that's built into what the Dharma is about and what the Buddhahood is about. And so I think that's very fundamental thing that we should always revisit. Okay, I want to introduce our guest to give us the Dharma Glimpse today, Dan Kayo. And he was part of our Lay Ministry 11 group that we'll go through. And we're right now, we're LM 13 is going to be finishing up next spring. And we have a two LM14 groups going on now. So that's a nice history of our lay ministry program. Okay. So Dan Kayo, part of our 11th group to go through the two-year program, lives in Utah. So let's hear from Dan Cayo.
Good morning, everyone. As we come to the end of another year, my mind has been reflecting on some of the lessons that I've learned from 2020. I think it's safe to say that 2020 has truly been a year unlike any other, which also means that it's full of lessons to learn from. One lesson that I keep going back to in the last month is how this year has really taught me how connected we all are, and how actions really do ripple out farther than we can ever know. A virus that started on the other side of the world has affected all of us in ways that we never would have imagined a year ago. As it has spread from person to person and country to country, we learned very quickly how our actions affect those around us and beyond. The idea of 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon has been played out in real life, but instead of loose connections to a celebrity, it has been all of our loose connections to a traveler on an airplane or a patron in a restaurant or a relative of a coworker that we've never even met. Yet those connections have affected our lives in profound ways. Acceptance has been another theme of 2020, or often the lack of acceptance. I watched as it seemed many people refused to accept the reality of the virus and thus doubted or rejected actions that needed to be taken on a personal level. The refrain, acceptance is transcendence, has been running through my head lately. How much more could we have transcended if, as a society, we had truly accepted the reality of what was going on? And going forward, how can acceptance help us transcend whatever comes our way in 2021 and beyond? 2020 has been a huge lesson in the reality that all things are constantly changing, and we have little to no control over it. I think it's safe to say that everyone has had to face changes this year, but really, it's always like that. For me, this year has just put a new perspective on it all. But I think the big take-home lesson of 2020 is Reverend Coyo's mantra, keep going. Life will always throw challenges at us. Keep going. Life will always have things that we have no control over. Keep going. Life will be tough. Keep going. Life will be sad. Keep going. Now, from his book, Bright Dawn, Reverend Coyo says, keep going means to be truly open-minded. Some of us may think we are open-minded and willing to listen to new ideas, but rarely are we really open-minded about life itself. We close our minds to undesired changes in life. We cling to our ideas about youth, health, and mortality. We have trouble accepting the realities of old age, illness, and death. Keep going means to take a wide view of life. Like the vast open sky that keeps going from horizon to horizon, we can take in all things, wanted or unwanted. Keep going means to alter our usual attitude or approach to life. Separate the journey from the destination. Life is not a problem to be solved. It is okay to live the question. Keep going means we do not have to victimize ourselves by always judging good or bad about what is happening. Keep going means not being trapped by name or form. Keep going means not being caught by praise or blame. Joy or sorrow? Keep going. Success or failure? Keep going. No need for a superiority or inferiority complex. Keep going. This is the spiritual life of liberation and enlightenment. This is how to live an absolute life in a relative world, end quote. My wish for all of us in this coming year is that no matter what 2021 throws at us, may we accept, transcend, and no matter what, keep going. May it be so.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's kind of interesting sometimes when you hear, well, when I hear my words about some Dharma teachings reflected back to me, and I say, and I hear a voice that's saying, hey, that's pretty good. hey, that's nicely expressed. Hey, that's a good teaching, you know. And then you have to smile because, you know, those were my words. That's how I was expressing a teaching. But it's from a trusted teacher friend sort of when I hear it reflected back to me, and it's kind of an interesting experience. But I was reminded in this Dharma glimpse about the one expression of interdependency, the 6 degrees. I didn't know it was 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, but just in social psychology, and I don't remember if it's 6 degrees, meaning how many times, well, this is the way I heard it. Say you're given a letter and you're supposed to get it delivered person to person. That is, this person has to receive this letter from a person that he knows, he or she knows personally. And you don't know this person at all, okay? But you know perhaps they live in New York, let's say. And that's all you know. And this social interdependency model says, well, you do the best you can. So say, well, I know somebody who lives in New York. I'll send it to them with this instruction sheet that tells what the goal of this exercise is. Okay. And they'll send it to somebody that they know personally. Okay. That might get closer. So, oh, well, maybe the person lives in New York. I know somebody that lives in New York, and I'll send it over there. And this person will say, gee, I don't know, but in this neighborhood, I know this retailer. I'll send it to them. And presumably, more times than not, you will succeed. And somebody, by 6 times, you know, 6 degrees, this letter could be delivered. Okay? That is a fascinating empirical fact. That's amazing. And we should think about that more often in terms of the elaboration, the implication, and, you know, the miracleness of that in terms of social interdependency and so forth. I think that's a fascinating piece of research that they did in social psychology. So, and I like how the idea of the elaboration on the different aspects, nuances, layers of keep going. Mm-hmm. Beyond inferiority, beyond superiority, keep going. Okay. And of course, the usual dominant implication or meaning of keep going is when you are faced with some obstacles or something negative happens, you say, well, come on, you know, keep going. Resilience, perseverance, and so forth. But equally important, but not so obvious, is we don't use a teaching of keep going when something good happens to us. But that's equally important when you think about it. Yeah? We can't rest on our laurels. You know? And you can just be victimized just as much by success as by failure. Uh-huh. So, good or bad, success or failure, this is what life is really about. Keep going. Okay? Because otherwise, if you don't flow with the dynamic flow of reality, well, you're going to be stuck in some little side pond of this river. And, you know, this river is flowing, it's active. Okay? You can't, the river. How do you study a river? You know, you can get a bucket full of its water and start to study that, but then you're studying a bucket of water, the river. Huh? And so I was thinking that keep going in terms of the dynamics of life itself. Good or bad, success, failure, keep going, you know. And I think that's a great, more complete teaching in terms of not just in the face of obstacles and so forth, but when it's all going good. You don't make a conclusion and put a period on it and say, oh, I'm going to stop right here. We might want to stop right there, but then, you're going to get caught. So we got to keep going. Hey, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, indeed, keep going. And you have a wonderful day. Thank you.